We're going to do a lesson on the cursing of the world and the blessing of Yahweh. And this is going to be narrated through Balak and Balaam. And the first thing we're going to realize is, I didn't realize either, that his name is not Balaam either. So most people know about Balaam and the donkey. Mm-hmm. The actual Hebrew name is Balaam, B-I-L-A-M. Balaam is Greek. Now, isn't that strange that you read just of the Old Testament to meet the Greek, mm-hmm. which is not form because Genesis is a Greek word. So you say, well, how did a Hebrew book get a Greek name? And that's to the Septuagint and so forth. And so most of all the books in the Old Testament are Greek or Latin names. But the story about, so I'll say Balaam, B-I-L-A-M instead of Balaam. And we'll begin in 2 Peter. And one thing that kind of got my attention is Balaam got three chapters of the Bible. You know, you've got apostles that didn't get even a verse, in essence, basically. 12 apostles. I mean, you got Peter and, Paul got quite a bit. But when you start thinking, well, why did this guy get three chapters? And it's the same way as Job. Job is 40 chapters. And why it is 40 chapters is, it's not to tell the incident of Job, it is a poem that goes all the way through the Word. So we have to say, why did Yahweh do that? And so many things that seems different, instead of being a mistake, we have to say, why did he do that? So it's a mystery. And so we get to unsolve it to say, why did he do this? Because he's bringing emphasis to it. And we know at Balaam, it appeared was not a Hebrew. But we know Yahweh did talk to him. And so obviously he was a follower of Yahweh, even though he was living in Moab. And can anybody tell me where we got the word Moab?
Lot's daughter.
It was Lot's daughter. And so remember, Ab, A-B means what in Hebrew?
Father.
And so I think it was my father. I think Mo, M-O, if I'm not mistaken, was something father. So yeah, you're right. That's Lot's daughter. And actually, Moses is buried in Moab. So it's not Moab, but it's Moab. So we'll start with 2 Peter, and that's page 243 for the New Testament.
43?
And we're going to see, 243.
Oh.
And we also see that Balaam, or Balaam, is in Peter, it's in Jude, and it's in Revelation. So I thought, well, this guy is getting a lot of print. And so we're going to look at those counts. 2 Peter 2, verse 12. These, however, as unreasoning creatures that have been bred as being by nature for capture and destruction, in the things they are ignorant of, utterly defamation, in their spoiling shall also be made a spoil, doing wrong themselves for a reward of wrong. Accordingly, a delight their daytime delicacies, spots and blemishes, indulging in delicacies with their stratagems, as they carouse together with you, having eyes full of adulterous and that cannot rest from sin, enticing unstable souls, having a heart trained in greed, children of a curse. Yeah, boy, these people are something. Forsaking a straight path, they have gone astray, following out the way of Balaam, of Beor, who loved the reward of wrong, but had a reproof of his own transgression, a dumb beast of burden and man's voice, finding utterance for Bay the prophet madness. So here's Balaam in 2 Peter. You guys got Rotherhams? Yeah, okay.
Here.
Let's see. The kids are here.
You like it, sure.
Yeah. Yeah, why don't you go out and give them one?
Look at my fat cell phone.
You can go ahead and keep it. I think you just need one. They can share. That's right. Now we're going to go to Jude. That's page 251.
Can we turn the fan on, Dad?
Yeah, I guess you could. Just have Tim hit it. Next one over. Jude.
254?
Yes, 251. verse 10 and 11. Now, we're always going to see that Balaam, or Balaam, in these particular places are not, is not put in a good light. 10. But these, whatsoever things indeed they know not, they defame. But whatsoever things naturally like the irrational creatures that will well understand by these are they bringing themselves to ruin. Alas for them, because in the way of Cain have they gone, and in the error of Balaam wage have they run in riot, and in the gainsaying of Korah have they perished.
Wow.
And what we're going to find out is all three of these people were believers. And this is really, Balaam is not an unbeliever. Neither was Cain, because we know Cain built an altar to Yahweh and did a sacrifice for Yahweh. We know Korah was actually of the Levite. And he was not, you know, he was...
He wasn't a big guy, though.
No, but he was a Levite. It was a Hebrew that what was going to happen, we're going to find out these people coming, the religious people, they were coming against Yahweh.
Oh, yeah.
And that's how they were grouped together. And actually, they're in rebellion. And we're going to see how that's all tied in together. Now we go to Revelation chapter 2, next book over, next page, verse 12 to 15. And unto the messenger of the assembly in Pergamum write, these things saith he that hath a sharp two-edged sword, I know where thou dwellest, where the throne of Satan is, and thou art holding fast my name, and dost not deny my faith, even in the days of Antipas, my witness, my faithful one, who was killed near you, where Satan dwelleth. Nevertheless, I have against thee a few things, that thou hast been such as hold fast the teaching of Balaam, who went on to teach Balak to throw a cause of stumbling before the sons of Israel. So we're getting a clue here. So here's what he actually did. He showed Balak how to throw a cause of stumbling before the sons of Israel, to eat idol sacrifices and to commit lewdness. Thus even thou hast such as hold that the teaching of the Nicolaitans in like manner. So, you see how Balaam did that. Or Balaam. The cursing of the world, and the little thing that Dr. Bollinger wrote was very interesting. And it's something that we've got to realize. He stated, in these scriptures we see the enmity of the world against the people of Yahweh. This is always the case. The moment Yahweh's people are manifested as separate from the world, their presence is intolerable.
Yeah.
And we see that with the Obama administration in the United States. Christians are intolerable. We've got to silence them. The object of Satan has always been to destroy them. Pharaoh attempted to destroy them in Egypt. Balak, which we're going to say, sought to crush them in the wilderness. Athaliah did her best to cut off the line of the promised seed, acting through unconsciously under the instigation of Satan. And Haman sought to sweep away the whole nation of Israel. But the effect of this is always to manifest and bring out Yahweh's favor. And so we're going to see the cursing of the world and the favor of the blessing of Yahweh to counteract that. As we know, the religious people killed the prophets. That's in Luke, you know, Acts, Romans, and Thessalonians. They killed Stephen. They killed James. And this is all through the religious people. Yahweh delivered, but we know in the other part, Yahweh delivered Peter from prison. He delivered Paul multiple times. He delivered Israel from Egyptians. Cyrus delivered the Israelites. Constantine delivered the Christians. The United States is actually, we came to be delivered from the intoleration of European countries. And Elijah was delivered, Elisha was delivered. And so we go on and on and on of the deliverance and the favor of people coming against and trying to kill every one of these. So the United States has attempted to be destroyed if it all could. Elijah was trying to be killed. Elisha was trying to be killed. And so we must think that the world is always, if we're acting righteously in the way Yahweh presents it, we are a threat. If people accept you readily in organizations, you just don't probably stand for anything. And so one thing I looked at our organization, of us teaching the word Yahweh, the Rotherham Bible, it's not tolerable. You know, Protestants aren't going to want it. Catholics don't want it. So we're not accepted. I mean, if you came in there and showed them, this is what we believe, no, we don't want you here. Jehovah's Witnesses are not going to accept us. You know, the way ministry and these other organizations that we're affiliated with would not want us around their fellowship. And you have to say, why is that? People are so insecure when you have scripture that they feel threatened. So we went to a church service on Sunday, or not Sunday, but Christmas Eve, and they were blessed, but they would not ever want us there once they saw what you actually believe. Even if you kept quiet, they would feel threatened. That's the same way when they saw Yahweh's people, we're going to look at Balak, felt threatened just by their presence. And their course of action was to destroy them. And so in England and so forth, they had what they called the Toleration Act. But if you didn't confess the Trinity, you were not to be tolerated. You know, and if you were a Catholic, you were not to be tolerated. So that was the most lenient time period that they ever had. And that's why the Pilgrims and the Puritans and stuff came to the United States for religious freedom. And it always usually comes not from the unbeliever, but it usually comes from the quote-unquote believers. And why? Because where else can Satan appear as an angel of light? Yeah, just that simple. So now we're going to go into Balaam. And that's in Numbers chapter 22, page 181. Great story, so we can't read the three chapters. But we always must say is, why did Yahweh have this printed? Why did he have so much information printed concerning it? So we're going to read 1 through 13.
Chapter 1.
Chapter 22, verses 1 through 13. And would you want to begin, Wendy?
And Balak, son of Zippor.
No, we're going to start at verse 1. And so this is going to give us geographical situation. Where is Moab anyway? And it's going to tell us. It's across the Jordan by Jericho.
Then did the sons of Israel wake up and encamp in the waste plains of Moab on the other side of the Jordan by Jericho. And Balak, son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done unto the Amorites. And Moab shrank with great fear from the presence of the people, because many were they were. And Moab was alarmed at the presence of the sons of Israel. So Moab said unto the elders of Midian, Now shalt the gathered host lick up all that are around about us, as the ox doth lick up the verdure of the field. But Balak, son of Zippor, was king unto Moab at that time. So he sent messengers unto Balaam, son of Beor, or Balaam, or what'd you say it was?
Balaam.
Yeah, you can say Balaam.
To Pethor, which was by the river of the land of the sons of his people, to call him, saying, Lo, a people hath come forth out of Egypt. Lo, he hath covered the eye of the land. Yea, he is tarrying over against us. Now therefore do come, I pray thee, curse me this people, for stronger he is than I. If peradventure I prevail, we shall smite him, that I may drive him out of the land. For I know that he whom thou dost bless is to be blessed, and he whom thou dost curse is to be cursed.
And Elijah, you want to do 7 to 13?
Okay. And the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian went their way with the rewards of divination in their hand. So they came unto Balaam and spake unto him the words of Balak. And he said unto them, Tarry ye here for the night, and I will bring you back word as Yahweh shall speak unto me. So the princes of Moab abode with Balaam, and Elohim came unto Balaam and said.
Now, one thing you're going to say too with 9, it will never say Yahweh talks to Balaam. It's always going to say Elohim, which is very interesting too, because there's a relationship here. And verse 9 again. But he does come. And he is speaking and he is giving them revelation.
The end of verse 9?
Just start verse 9 again to 13.
Okay. And Elohim came in unto Balaam and said, Who are these men with thee? Then said Balaam unto Elohim, Balaam of Zippor, king of Moab, hath sent unto me. Lo, the people that hath come forth out of Egypt, he covereth the eye of the land. Now do come, do reveal me. Peradventure I shall prevail in making war with him, and shall drive him out. And Elohim said unto Balaam, Thou shalt not go with them, thou shalt not curse the people, for blessed is he. And Balaam rose up in the morning and said unto the princess of Balak, Get you unto your own land, for Yahweh hath refused to let me go with you.
Well, so Balaam is a great guy.
Yeah.
He's obeying Yahweh. And if you go through all of this, you're going to find out that they keep curse him, and he gets the word and the revelation is bless him. And he blesses them, in which we're going to see. And so you're going to see, okay, well, this is not the story that I'm really seeing Balaam that's in the New Testament. We're going to find the answer. We're going to say, what happened to Balaam through all this? You know, what changed? Now we go to verse 20 to 35. And the kids will come in on verse 28. So you have your sheets? Okay. Good. And I'll read 20. And Elohim came unto Balaam by night and said unto him, here's another approach. If to call thee the men have come in, arise, go with them. And this is a little bit difficult verse, but Elohim is telling him, don't go unless they call you. And we're going to find out they didn't call him, and Balaam goes anyway. So that's the gist of the story. But only the things that I shall speak unto thee, that shalt thou do. So Balaam arose in the morning. He wasn't supposed to because he hadn't been called yet. And this is the whole story with the ass. And saddled his ass and went with the prince of Moab. Then kindled the anger of Elohim because he was going. See, that gives you the deal. He was going. And the messenger of Yahweh stationed himself in the way to withstand him as he was riding upon his ass, his two young men being with him. And the ass saw the messenger of Yahweh stationed in the road with his drawn sword in his hand. So the ass turned aside out of the road and went into the field. And Balaam smote the ass to make her turn back into the road. So it went around. But the messenger of Yahweh took his stand in a hollow place, and so he repositioned himself, because obviously he went around him. Now he's repositioned himself to be in another place on the road. But the messenger of Yahweh took his stand in a hollow pass of the vineyard, with a fence on this side and a fence on that. And when the ass saw the messenger of Yahweh, she squeezed herself against the wall, and squeezed the foot of Balaam against the wall, and again he smote her. And the messenger of Yahweh went on further and took his stand in a narrower place. This is the third position, repositioning, where there was no way to turn to the right or to the left. And when the ass saw the messenger of Yahweh, she couldn't go left, or couldn't go right, or couldn't go around, she sank down under Balaam. Then was Balaam anger kindled, and he smote the ass with the staff. Now, how many sheets do we have? Was it fourth one?
It's under that paper. It's on your back.
Of okay. No. No, I gave you four. Where's the other one? Okay. I was going to have Elijah read, but you guys. Okay. Yep. You don't have it. Here. Why don't you stand up?
It's your reading, kid.
Now I'll go and be the narrator.
So they just grab a sheet.
And you guys ready? Yeah. I'm going to read verse 28. Why don't you guys stand up?
Yeah.
There you go. And come here. You get down here and get on your knees and you sit on it.
No mercy.
She's going to need a donkey.
This is where you get Shrek from, guys.
Okay.
Oh. Let's go to
Hi, and don't actually sit on it. He's not going to sit on it. And Yahweh opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam,
what have I done to thee that thou hast smitten me these three times?
And Balaam said unto the ass,
surely thou hast been making sport of me. Would there have been a sword in my hand, for now would I have slain thee.
Then said the ass unto Balaam,
am I not thine own ass, on which thou hast ridden all thy life? Until this day have I been wont to do unto thee thus?
And he said,
nay.
Then did Yahweh unveil the eyes of Balaam, and he saw them. I'll get in front of him. That's the microphone. Okay.
That's the microphone.
Then did Yahweh unveil the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the messenger of Yahweh stationed in the road with his sword drawn in his hand. Get your sword out.
And look at me.
Wait a minute. In his hand. So he bent his head, and she can look at the camera, and bowed down before him, and the messenger of Yahweh said unto him,
wherefore thou hast smitten thine ass these three times? No, I myself have come forth to withstand thee, because headlong was thy way before me, and thy ass hath seen me, and hath turned aside at my presence these three times, unless he had turned aside to my presence. Ye now, even that had I slain, but her had I suffered to live.
Then said Balaam unto the messenger of Yahweh,
I have sinned, for I knew not that thou was stationed to meet me in the road. Now therefore, if it be displeasing in thine eyes, I must get me back again.
And the messenger of Yahweh said unto Balaam,
go with the men, only the word that I shall speak unto thee, that thou speaks. So Balaam went his way to the princes of Balak.
Very good. Yeah. Good job, guys.
Off my back.
Okay, Isaiah.
Good job.
I
think
he was.
I was hoping you'd make a good little laugh.
Yeah.
But you have to look at the paper. Hey, Aaron. So here's the characters. Zoom in on that. Can you see it? Right at the top line. And so what it says, you got it. Okay. So it says, ass equals Melania. Balaam equals Isaiah, and messenger equals Esther. Now, ass is a good word. You know, it's an animal, and now it's been just changed.
So that's still a call to that good word?
So when Melania looked at it and said, that's me? Okay. Now we're going to go to the first prophecy of Balaam, which, and we're going to do just a summation of these. It's 23, verse 7. Okay. Isaiah, read 7 through 8. Chapter 23, 7 through 8.
7 through 8.
So he took up.
So he took up his parable and said, from a ramah doth
Balak
conduct me, the king of Moab, from the mountains of the east. Come thou, curse me, Jacob. Ye come thou, rage and Israel. How can
okay,
I...
Wait a minute, we're going to stop there.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Melania, read 11 through 12. Esther, open your Bible up. Get ready for reading.
It said Balak unto
Balaam, or Balaam.
Balaam, what hast thou done for me to revile mine enemies? I summon thee, and lo, thou hast kept on blessing. And he answered and said, was it not to be so that whatsoever Yahweh should put into my mouth, the same should I take heed to speak?
So Balak told him to curse him, and Yahweh said bless him. And so he ended up blessing Israel. And so he said, let's try another place. And so now we're going to second prophecy is verse 18 through 20. You ready, Esther? Read 18 and 20.
Same chapter.
Okay.
But there's only 18.
Page 184, turn the page. Right at the top. Go right at the top.
18 to 20.
Loud. Okay. Go ahead, Eli.
Is it there?
Go ahead.
Chapter 24, right?
23, 18.
That's the
word
numbers.
Okay, easy. Shh. Okay, just stop. Go ahead.
Then took he up his parable and said, "Rise, Balak, and hear. Give ear unto me, son of Zippor. Elohim is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of Adam that he should repent. Hath he said and will not perform? Yet is spoken and will not make it stand fast. Lo, to bless have I received command, and I will bless, nor will I take it back."
Well, that's just great. So he's blessing Israel again. In verse 25, read that, Cayman.
Then said Balak unto Balaam, "Thou shalt neither revile him nor bless him."
And read verse 26.
And Balaam responded and said unto Balak, "Spake I not unto thee, saying, all that Yahweh shall speak, that must I do?"
Okay, so he's still holding firm, So Balaam is still holding firm. Now go to chapter 24, verse 3 and 5. Are you ready for that, Esther?
Yeah.
Okay, read 3 through 5 on chapter 24.
And he took up his parable and said, "The oracle of Balaam, son of Beor, ye the oracle of a man of open eye, the oracle of the heathen, saying of Yahweh, whose sight of the Elmanity we see in vision, who fall down but revealed eyes. How pleasing all thy tents, O Jacob, thy habitations, O Israel."
This is a beautiful phrase. Look at 4.
Yeah.
Balaam is getting a revelation. He said, "My eyes are closed, but I see clearly." This is a great revelation. So let me just go over that again. "The oracle of Balaam, son of Beor, yea, the oracle of the man of opened eye, the oracle of one hearing sayings of El, who the sight of the Almighty receiveth in vision, who fall down, but hath unveiled eyes." So you think of falling down, your face is to the ground, but all of a sudden you see, and he's blessing and praising all of Israel. And if you look at verse 17, he starts prophesying about the Messiah. "I see one who is not now. I observe one who is not nigh. The earth marched forth a star out of Jacob, and arisen a scepter out of Israel, that hath dishonored the beard of Moab, yea, the crown of the head of all thy turbulence." And so this is a prophecy about Yahushua, the coming Messiah. And Balaam is giving it. So we have to say... So the purpose of Balak was to curse them, and then he had the ability to overcome them by fighting. And so he ended up sending them home. And let's see here. And in verse 25, "Then Balaam arose and went and returned unto his place, and Balak also went his way." So it looked like the end of the story, but that's not the end of the story. Something happened, and we're going to see in 25, verse 1 to 3, "And Israel remained among the Acadias, and the people began to go away unchastely unto the daughters of Moab, who invited the people unto the sacrifice of their gods." Here is the undermining of the foundation. So we try to come on top to knock you out, and we can't. All right, so how are we going to do it? Well, we're going to go is going from the inside out. We're going to build underneath you. And that's Satan is appearing as an angel of light. And his ministers, his angels of righteousness. And we're coming right in the middle. And this is going to be very devastating. Verse 2, "Who invited the people unto the sacrifice of their gods, So the people did eat and did bow themselves down unto their gods. Thus Israel let himself be bound unto Baal Peor, and the anger of Yahweh kindled upon Israel. Now, somebody read footnote B. Can you read that, Troy?
Master?
Yeah, so we're going to look at, what does Baal Peor mean?
Master of the generative organ, a Moabitish idol in whose worship females prostituted themselves.
So, this is where we're going. And you have to say, oh, okay. Now we go to 31, chapter 31, verse 1, and read through 4. Kind of gives you what had happened, and we're going to come back to that chapter. Time we go. Then spake Yahweh unto Moses, saying, extract thou the avengings of the sons of Israel from the Midianites, and afterwards shalt thou be withdrawn unto thy kinsfolk. So Moses spake unto the people, saying, you know, instead of afterwards thou shalt go to heaven.
Yeah.
Now, when Moses died, where did people put him? I mean, the Christian church. In heaven. And what's this say? When he's going to die, where is he going to die? Withdraw unto thy kinsfolk. You're not coming to heaven. So Moses spake unto the people, saying, arm me from among you men for the war, and let them go against Midian to render the avenging of Yahweh upon Midian. 1,000 from each tribe of all the tribes of Israel shall you send forth unto the war. So they had 12,000 people and start going to war. Now we go to 15, verse 15, and this is kind of the...
Verse 15.
We'll stay on chapter 31. Now we're going to go to verse 15 and 16. And this is unlocks the mystery, the secret of what's actually going on here. And Moses said unto them, and this is after they destroyed Midian and actually killed Balaam also, have you saved alive every female? Lo, they became unto the sons of Israel by the advice of who?
Balaam.
Balaam. The cause of daring acts of treachery against Yahweh. And that's it. This is the phrase we're going to look at, the treachery against Yahweh over the affairs of Peor. And then came the plague against the assembly of Yahweh. So that word treachery, treachery means a betrayal of trust. Deceptive actions, a violation of faith. The word, the Hebrew word in treachery is ma'al, M-A-A-L. It's used 35 times. In almost all the biblical references, ma'al is used to designate the breaking or violation of religious law as a conscious act of treachery. Wow. The victim against whom the breach is perpetrated is Yahweh. And that's where now we're going to see what happens. And so this is from the inside out, rebelling against Yahweh. And now we go to 1 Chronicles, page 420, chapter 10. And start looking at the word ma'al, on treachery. And that's also where we get the word treason. So really, treason is not a trespass. And so most other Bible translations will do a trespass. Well, trespass is breaking the law. This is infidelity. This is unfaithfulness. And so a treason is when you go against the United States. And this was your own family. And so that is where we're looking at the word treachery. And so when you become treachery against Yahweh,
commit
treachery against Yahweh, you're breaking that, you know, faithful relationship or that hesed, that you had that hesed, which is the Hebrew word for faithfulness, is emet. And you're breaking that. What we're going to see. So 1 Chronicles 10, chapter 10, verse 13. Then died Saul. So Saul is two words. And that's another thing that's interesting because, well, we know that Balaam, the Greeks don't pronounce it Balaam either. It's Ba-La-M. So it's B-A-L-A-A-M. So actually, Balaam should be three syllables. Ba-la-im.
Ba-la-im.
Ba-la-im. Am. And that's how we've got a software that pronounces the Hebrew and Greek. And so you get to hear a Hebrew and Greek person pronounce it. And you go, oh. And that's what they'll do. Saul, it will be Saul. And the word El is in the back. And I think that might be pertinent there. But thus did Saul for his unfaithfulness, wherewith he dealt unfaithfully, or that's Ma'al, against Yahweh, just like Balaam did. But it said treachery against Yahweh. He translated unfaithfully against Yahweh. Same word. Over the word of Yahweh. How did he do it? He kept not. And also in asking by necromancy, when he desired to inquired not of Yahweh, wherefore he slew him and turned round the kingdom unto David, son of Jesse. So that is Ma'al. Go to 2 Chronicles 12. And this is 1 Chronicles. Go to the next Chronicles, chapter 12, verse 1.
Page 446, girls.
Okay, Elijah 1 and 2.
Okay.
And it came to pass when Rehoboam had established the kingdom and had strengthened himself, he forsook the law of Yahweh and all Israel with him.
So here, you know, once you forsake the law, you're going into Ma'al against Yahweh. And that's what Balaam also did. Look, verse 2.
And so it came to pass in the fifth year of King Rehoboam, that
Shishak,
king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem because they had dealt treacherously against Yahweh.
So we see treacherously Mala against Yahweh again. And so he gave them up to the Egyptians for their transgression. Now we go to chapter 26. Verse 16.
Chapter
26. So, yeah, from 2 Chronicles.
And 457.
So we're going to see the whole pattern of how this is used. And this is Uzziah. He was a king, and he reigned for 50-some years. And just did a tremendous job. But he decided to say, I want to do a little bit more. So he started to become a priest and go into the sanctuary and go into the holy.
Holy of Holies?
Not the Holy of Holies, but just the holies. The temple that only the priests were allowed to go into. And he ends up becoming a leper. Yahweh. So this is very, and leprosy, the significance of leprosy is you're unclean. So any leper could not come into the temple area. And so when Yahweh gave leprosy to Miriam, you're unclean. And that's the significance. Yeah. You cannot approach me because you're a leper. He's going to do the same thing with Hosea in the temple. He's in the temple with incense, not in the Holy of Holies. And that's the only place the priest can be. And also Yahweh just goes bink and puts a little leprosy right on him and starts spreading. And that means you're unclean. And not only are you unclean, you cannot enter any place around my holy place ever again. And so that's the signal when you became exalted. Now, when he became strong, and that's what we've got to realize, so many pastors and so many ministry leaders, this is their exact problem. That when they become strong, uplifted was his heart. Unto what? 16. Unto what?
Hello.
Yeah. 26, verse 16. What's that word?
Swan.
Ruin.
Ruin. There it is. I was trying to see if anybody's falling.
Oh.
Yeah. You're like, what's that word say? Everybody's like, I don't know. Where are we? Okay.
That's the
you start over again. When he became strong, uplifted with his heart. And what happens when your heart becomes uplifted? What is the end result?
Ruin.
For he acted what? That's Ma'al. Maal, or treachery, or unfaithfulness against Yahweh as Elohim, and entered into the temple of Yahweh to burn incense upon the altar of incense. So now I'm getting to say, okay, Balaam had the same thing happen. And so he was treachery against Yahweh. And now we'll go to chapter 28, next page, verse 19. And Yahweh had brought Judah low because of Ahaz, king of Israel, for he had given the reign in Judah and been grievously unfaithful of Maal with Yahweh by giving the people the reign. Pastors will not do this today. Many of them will not do this. And so if a person, if a sin becomes acceptable, and you got people with many of the churches, you know, cohabitating out of marriage in their church, and they're not going to address it in order to offend people. That's giving people the reign. That is becoming, that is actually committing treachery against Yahweh because you're not speaking out what you know is happening. And why aren't you speaking out is because it could affect your church. Maybe the tithe's coming in. That now you become strong and there's a lot of money coming in, and I know some of the big givers possibly are in sin, and I'm not going to bring it up. And that is New Spring Church, the great example on that. So I had a lot of them. And we gave them information, and they wouldn't even open it. You know, they don't want any reproof. Yeah, so I even sent, you know, letters of correction to Jonathan Hoover, found his home address. And a letter would come back unopened, refused. Now, I didn't know they could even do that, but it really showed a message from Christ came to Jonathan Hoover. And what did he do with Christ's message? He refused it. So how many of us in the same situation where somebody brings a message and la, 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 who am I really refusing? If I refuse Christ, I'm refusing. If I refuse a messenger, I'm refusing Christ. If I'm refusing Christ, I'm refusing who?
Yahweh.
And at one particular time, the messenger will stop coming. That's when you have to be concerned. Because Yahweh is no longer in communication with you.
That's Saul.
Yeah, and that's Saul too. And so Samuel did not, after the last part, did not go back to Saul. And so he thought, aha, Samuel's gone. Good, those guys are gone. And we did this with New Spring Church. And we're gone. We were there. I was putting things in the plates, all the information, you know, and now we're gone, and they're like, yay! That's the worst thing you could ever celebrate. Because now Christ is gone from your church. Okay, now we go to verse 22 and 23. And in the time of his distress, yet he further acted unfaithfully, or, you know, Maal, with Yahweh, he, King Ahaz, where he sacrificed unto the gods of Damascus, who had smitten him, and said, because the gods of the king of Syria are helping them, unto them will I sacrifice that they may help me. But they served to seduce him and all Israel. So we get to see what is happening. And so now let's go back to Numbers 25. That's page 185. Back to the story of Balaam. And that's chapter 25, verse 1. We're going to start over and read to 13. Any volunteers? Okay. About Esther, you read 1 through 4.
Okay. And Israel remained among the
Acadians,
and the people began to go away
unchastely
unto the daughters of Moab, who invited the people into the sacrifices of their gods. So the people did eat and did bow themselves down. And their gods Thus Israel let himself be bound unto Baal Peor, and he anger of Yahweh kindled upon him.
Israel. And Yahweh said unto Moses, take all the heads of the people and crucify them unto Yahweh in the face of the sun, that the heat of the anger of Yahweh may turn away from Israel. And so this is Ma'al. This is treachery that is happening right inside his church, his children. And Moses said unto the judges of Israel, slay ye each one his men who have let themselves be bound unto Baal Peor. And Baal is a Hebrew word for Lord. So it's not necessarily a bad word. A husband is also called Baal of his wife. He's Lord of his wife. But when you see it in capital like this, and obviously that is an idol. But it's still the word Baal just means Lord. And you'll see many, some of David's sons, children name have Baal in it.
Yeah.
So Baal is not necessarily a god, but it can be a god. And that's what they end up doing. And verse 6, and lo, a man of the sons of Israel coming in, who, now watch this, who brought near unto his brethren a Midianite woman before the eyes of Moses and before the eyes of all the assemblies of the sons of Israel. Now this is decadent. He's bringing this prostitute, what's about ready to happen, right into the church. When they were weeping at the entrance of the tent of meetings, and Phinehas, son of Eleazar, son of Aaron, the priest, saw it. So he rose up out of the midst of the assembly and took a spear into his hand and went in after the man of Israel into the pleasure tent and thrust both of them through the man of Israel and the woman in her parts of shame. So the plague was restrained from against the sons of Israel. Then was it found that they who had died by the plague were how many?
420,000.
420. So that'd be 24,000 people died because of this sin.
See, pleasure tents?
Yeah.
That's what it's
pleasure tents. Yeah. And so you're looking at, this is what Balaam gave information to Balak to say, maybe you ought to try this. And instead of overpowering them, let's make them part of us. And that's what they end up doing. And he got paid for it because they'll always talk about the wages of Balaam. Let's see here. Today's the same thing. The blessings, people try to curse us, but Yahweh will bless us as we walk in the same light of doing His commandments and His word. That's all we got. So people are trying to curse the United States all the time. And now we got the Democratic Party is one of the greatest enemies against Christ. And that's working from the inside out to make it outlaw the Bible in schools, outlaw the Bible, you know, in football games, everything else.
It's the Ten Commandments.
And they would love that. Yeah, Ten Commandments. And so we want sodomy. We legalize sodomy. And this is Malah against Yahweh. Treachery against Yahweh. By the church, if they don't stand up against it. How about bowing down to God the Son, God the Holy Spirit? That is treachery. That's the Trinity. That is treachery against Yahweh. Not prophesying. I don't know if not prophesying would be treachery, but pretty close to it. And it says, covet, be zealous to prophesy. And if a person says no, then to me that's rebellion. Changing Yahweh's word. Absolute treachery. And so when they removed down the NIV, the New Living Translation, the only begotten Son from their Bibles, that is treachery. That is Malah against Yahweh. Those versions are cursed by Yahweh. And they're writing the church. Changing God's word is in exchange for money, as did Balaam. And so the sell Bible versions, same situation. I'm going to sell this for the churches adapting at the same rate by using this version. And that was Newspring. On the back of the pews, they use the New Living Translation, which is complete wicked. You know, it's complete corruption of the Word of Yahweh. And that's in their church. Now, how much time we got? I think we're going to stop right there. So I might give some more verses for somebody later on. The unfaithfulness, or Malah, can also be looked at Leviticus 26, verses 40 to 42. Ezekiel 14, verses 12 to 14. Ezekiel 20, 27 to 28, and Ezekiel 39:23 and 26. Let's just go to one Ezekiel, and then we'll stop. Page 798. And so Ezekiel has a lot, because this is Jerusalem, this is the church that is has collapsed. In 798, Ezekiel chapter 14. And then I suggest everybody else finish reading Bilam. That's, you know, Numbers 22, there's three chapters, and then it goes on. And it ends up in 31,
almost
2.
Sounds like a song of Miriam or something.
Let me see here. Okay, chapter 14. 14, verses 12. And the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, this is Ezekiel, verses 12 through 14. Ezekiel chapter 14, 12 through 14. And the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, Son of man, when a land shall sin against me by committing malah, treachery, and I shall stretch out my hand against it, and break for it the staff of bread, and send thereof famine, and cut off thereof man and beast, then should these three men be in, the midst thereof, Noah, Daniel, and Job, they by their righteousness should deliver their own lives, declare my Lord Yahweh. I'm not sure exactly what that means. But it goes all the way through Ezekiel this way. So, blessings and cursings, we choose. But be very prepared for sodomy, partial birth abortions. This is all in the church right now. Half the Christian, half the process, half the Catholic vote for the wickedness on the Democratic Party. And the church, and many of them say nothing. They all, 90% of them probably bow to multiple gods. It goes along without saying. So it's a sad state. But with us, to be in distance, it's our fate. Right? Well, I'm proud of that. I'm proud.
I am too.
You know, anybody can come into this fellowship. We don't bar out to anybody. You know, but if you show people what you believe and show them the word, they're intimidated and they're afraid for them. They're not going to want you around. Which is fine, just expect it. And that's actually a compliment. The same way they did with the Apostle Paul, he says, all of Asia Minor is turned from him. That's Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, Ephesus. Why? Because he spoke the truth. And people have itching ears and they want the new thing that comes along.